Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everyone, to a very brief post-DeMarcus Cousins trade episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. And well, today's episode is just going to be a brief rundown of what happened last night. I'm sure you're aware. If you aren't, if you've been living under a rock, DeMarcus Cousins has gone from not really being on the trade market to traded altogether. The Kings, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of The Vertical, as well as a few other outlets, have agreed to trade DeMarcus Cousins, longtime star big man, to the New Orleans Pelicans for a package headlined by Buddy Hield and a first-round pick in this year's draft. Buddy Hield, of course, was a top 10 pick last year out of Oklahoma. There's also a couple other parts, Tyreke Evans and Langston Galloway. Those are mostly for salary matching purposes. But the real takeaway, the Kings did not get a ton of value in return. And perhaps it's because DeMarcus wouldn't give assurances of an extension. What few reports we had last night indicated that given the circumstances and how sudden the deal was, he wasn't ready to agree to anything at this time. Maybe that took away some of the value, but bottom line, DeMarcus Cousins is one of the top five most talented players in the entire NBA, and he's a center. So to see a trade of someone like that, to see someone give up on him, it's always eye-popping. And of course, when you're Houston and New Orleans is in your division, and well, only located about 5.5 hours to the east, of course it makes you take notice and wonder what the impact is on you, and also if you could have done something to prevent it. First and foremost, I'm going to look at the Rockets' angle of this, which is why they did not get more heavily involved in the bidding. Because I think we all know, looking at that price, Buddy Hield, now apparently Kings ownership really liked him, but basically you're looking at two pretty good first-round picks, but none truly elite. Hield was not a top-three-level pick, and the pick that New Orleans is sending Sacramento is also top-three protected. So the Kings are not getting anything too special out of this deal. They're getting pretty good assets. But if the Rockets had wanted to get in the game, if they had been willing to trade the likes of Clint Capella, Sam Decker, and a future first-round pick, I absolutely think they could have gotten heavy consideration. The one difference, Tyreke Evans' contract is expiring. The Rockets would have had to have given the Kings some deals headlined by Corey Brewer, maybe Trevor Ariza or Pat Beverly, and those are contracts that expire in 2018 rather than 2017. However, I don't think that's what undid a deal between the Kings and the Rockets, because I don't know why the Kings think someone's going to go to that situation in July 2017 as a free agent anyway. I think if they're really trying to rebuild, sure, they need cap space, but they need to roll that cap space forward to 2018 and 2019 when hopefully the franchise is held a little higher regard than it is now. Because for the Kings to make this deal only days after publicly assuring Cousins that he wouldn't be traded, it takes away a lot of their credibility, and of course we all know the issues that have gone on with that franchise for years. So the fact that they're getting some cap relief this summer, that's basically meaningless, because if the Kings spend it this summer, they're going to be dramatically overpaying someone, basically paying the Sacramento tax, quote-unquote, to get someone to go to that situation. So I don't think that was the deal. I think basically they wanted the best combination of young players and assets, and they liked Buddy Hield, and they got another first-round pick, and that was the deal they went with. From the Rockets' standpoint, Clint Capella, Sam Decker, a future first-round pick, could they have gotten in the game? Sure, they could have. But the issue for the Rockets, and I think it's very similar to what we talked about with Ibaka, if you make that move, you are going all in. Because it's not just a matter of the contract. Of course, if you trade for DeMarcus, you're doing it with the intent of re-signing him this summer, and his deal is going to be upwards of $25 million per, so you'd essentially be locking yourself into Harden Cousins as your core. Beyond that, you're not even looking at as strong of a supporting cast as you were if you were to lock in with an Ibaka or the alternative options, which I said were going into summer free agency and looking at the likes of Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, Gordon Hayward, etc. One thing you guys have heard me say on this show over and over again, the ace in the hole card the Rockets have in terms of building their roster around Harden and another star-level player is the presence of Clint Capella and Sam Decker on rookie contracts next year. So essentially, you can shed salaries, you can make aggressive moves this summer, and you can still have those two guys making less than $5 million combined next season on your salary cap. So that gives you so many more options for filling out your roster. And then, of course, the Rockets would have bird rights on Decker and Capella and be able to go over the cap to keep them at all costs. If you were to do a deal with the Kings for Cousins, they would want those assets because those are the young assets. Those are the only things comparable to, say, a Buddy Hield, the kind of package they got from New Orleans. So you wouldn't be able to do that. You'd be locking yourself in with Harden and DeMarcus Cousins, sure, but then you would not have those young, cheap assets already in place with which to build your roster around them. So it's not just a matter of liking DeMarcus. You would have to really like him because you'd be taking away your young building blocks, and really you'd be just moving forward with the core of Harden, Cousins, and whatever veterans you keep. Now, the Rockets would still have the bird rights on the likes of, you know, Pat Beverly, Trevor Ariza, whatever veterans they keep. They'd still have Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson in this scenario. So it's not that they would be completely void of a supporting cast, but it would be a much older supporting cast. All these guys are going to depreciate in value in the years ahead. And I think for the Rockets, they would much rather, in theory, go with the mystery of door number two, which is let's see what happens if we can get another star and keep the likes of Sam Decker and Clint Capella, because those guys are only going to get better in the years ahead. I think that was kind of the determining factor for the Rockets. Secondary factor, DeMarcus's temperament. Look, I know a lot of guys have strong feelings on this one way or the other. If you've seen me on Twitter, I have commented on his body language time and time again. I have some concerns. Now, I'm not going to say he's a bad seed. Sacramento is absolutely a dysfunctional situation, and it's possible a lot of it is just basically the Sacramento effect wearing on a guy who just has a high competitive streak. That's extremely possible, and maybe that DeMarcus, once he gets into a better situation, although we have to wait and see whether New Orleans is that culture, guys including Eric Gordon, now with the Rockets, have spoken at length about kind of the issues in New Orleans, the dysfunction there, not at the Sacramento level, but it's certainly high, so we have to see if that's enough for DeMarcus to get on the straight and narrow. But I do think it is a question around him, despite his talent, and if you're the Rockets, you're holding a pretty strong hand. The Rockets right now, of course, are 40-18, third in the West. Barring something shocking, some sort of extraordinary collapse, they're going to be seen as a destination franchise this summer. You're going to have the coach of the year. You're going to have the probable MVP. You're going to have young talent in place. So I absolutely think the Rockets are going to be near the top of the list for a lot of potential free agents this summer because they're a good team. They have an MVP talent and a willing passer in James Harden, and it's a fun style of basketball to play. Oh, and by the way, it also inflates players' values because of the pace at which they play and the way the D'Antoni system is conducive to high scoring numbers. So I think there's a lot. The Rockets know they're holding a strong hand, and if you make this move now, again, partly you'd be sacrificing your young assets, which the Rockets want, because they want a balance between veterans and young players. Yes, they want veterans, they want to be more mature, but you also want to have some guys that are going to improve as the years move forward, because certainly some of these veterans, there is going to be a little bit of a decline in performance, and so you want that to be counteracted by your young guys like Sam Decker or Clint Capella that are going to continue to improve. So that's a part of the equation. The other part, the Cousins' temperamental issues. Look, you would be gambling everything on this move, and the Rockets know they are already holding a pretty strong hand with the perception of this franchise, the fact that they can potentially create cap space this summer for a max or close to max level free agent if they needed it. And I just think, as was the case with Ibaka, this was not a deal that the Rockets wanted to go all in and make. Would a Harden and DeMarcus Cousins-led team be really intriguing? Sure it would, but essentially you'd be saying for the next 5 years, and this is really James Harden's prime, this is it. This is the team we're going to go to war with to try and take down the Golden State Warriors. Is that enough? I think it's worth the conversation, and I absolutely think the Rockets could have gotten in the ballgame if they wanted to, but I think the Rockets are in such a good position now, not just for this season, but with how they're set up for free agency in July 2017, that for the Rockets, it made a little more sense to just play this out and see what the other options are. again, it's worth discussing. DeMarcus, I believe he's a top five talent in the NBA, but I see why the Rockets didn't do it. It's just there are too many questions to make an all-in move. And by the way, it absolutely would if you were to trade that many guys, including the fabric of your locker room, if you have to move someone like Ariza or Beverly to make the salary work in the middle of a season in which you're 40-18, top three in the West. While that can't be the leading factor because the Rockets right now, they're not a contender on the level of the Warriors, it absolutely is something they have to consider because every season with James Harden in his prime and at an MVP level, that's something you have to take seriously. Now, beyond the fact that DeMarcus isn't with the Rockets, the other part of this, the fact that Cousins is in New Orleans, which is a division rival, I do think it's going to get a little overplayed, the impact of him being in the division. Because really, these days in the NBA, it's all about the conference. Now, it does suck that another Western Conference team seems to have some promise. You have two guys like DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. Those are two tremendous building blocks, and I'd rather them be in the East than in the West. But young talent doesn't mean anything. First and foremost, there's lots of questions about that locker room. Eric Gordon, as I said earlier, has said many of them himself, including this weekend in New Orleans over the All-Star game. But you look at other teams, Minnesota's someone that has so much young talent. Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, that hasn't come together yet. So just because there's young talent in place doesn't mean they're immediately going to become a winner. There are lots of questions, there are lots of intangibles, things that go into winning that neither Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins has shown they can lead at this point in their career. So I don't think it's necessarily going to be a huge upgrade immediately. Over time, you'd like to think that talent can win out, but there are certainly questions. I don't think this makes the Pelicans even an immediate playoff team. They certainly could be, and if they were to get there, it'd be interesting to see what Cousins and Anthony Davis could do against a Warriors team. If they get in, it'd be an 8-1 matchup, and the Warriors, of course, are a smaller team, so maybe Davis and Cousins could do some things with their length and physicality. We'll have to wait and see on that. But as far as the impact on the Rockets, I don't think that the in-division thing is that big of a deal, because these days, divisions are almost meaningless. It's just something that I guess you can print out division championship t-shirts. You can technically raise a banner if you want. And I guess it does guarantee you a top four seed, not even a top three seed anymore. But really, for years, the Southwest has been loaded. I think back to a couple of years ago when San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, Memphis were all playoff teams. And New Orleans was, I think, actually all five were. I think New Orleans was a playoff team that year as well. So you don't play teams in your division more often than the others. It's pretty much in terms of the scheduling. You're much more biased towards the Western Conference than you are your individual division. So the fact that it's a rival, quote-unquote, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I'd rather him be in the East than the West, certainly, but don't worry about the Southwest division impact because the way the modern NBA is run, the divisions are not really that meaningful. One thing, however, that is meaningful, unfortunately, the Rockets have only played one of their four games this season against New Orleans. So over the final 24 games of the year, the Rockets are going to see the Pelicans three separate times. That's a lot. And, well, it's unfortunate because the team the Pelicans had over the first 58 games of the year was, well, a lot worse. Because essentially, in terms of the contributors, you're swapping out a rookie Buddy Hield for DeMarcus Cousins. The other guys, Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, not major contributors. So, yeah, you upgrade Hield to Cousins, they're going to be a much better basketball team. And, of course, it starts on Thursday night in New Orleans, the first game out of the All-Star break. And, boy, is that environment going to be lit when New Orleans fans get to welcome DeMarcus Cousins. Now, the Kings have not officially announced the deal. It's possible, you never know, maybe there's some sort of weird demo issue with physicals that drags it out. The unfortunate thing, though, is that with this getting announced, basically leaked to the media is done on Sunday. They basically got 90-plus hours, the Kings and Pelicans, to finalize this, to fly the players out for the physicals. So with it being announced this early in the week, I think the odds are pretty good that those players, most notably DeMarcus Cousins, of course, are going to be cleared in time to play Thursday night against the Rockets. And so that's a little bit of a drawback. However, you could also argue that, well, the Rockets caught a break with Dallas. They went 4-0 against the Mavs in the first 2 months. And since then, the Mavs have started to figure it out a little bit. So maybe this is just kind of the other side of that. That's what the Dream Shake blog, that's SB Nation, they told me that last night, and that's a good point. So it's not the end of the world, but certainly you don't like the fact that the Rockets have only played one of the four games against the Pelicans to this point. But who knows, maybe that first game on Thursday, it kind of looks to me a classic letdown game because you know there's not going to be a ton of chemistry. There's going to be a lot of expectations. So maybe this is a game where the Rockets can take advantage of just how new the situation is to New Orleans because the Rockets, of course, have a very stable team. I think the Rockets will do something this week, but it's not looking like it'll be anything too major. So hopefully the Rockets go into that game, of course, with a huge culture advantage in New Orleans. And despite the interior edge that the Pelicans might have with Cousins and Anthony Davis, Rockets still, of course, should be definite favorites in that game. And then looking forward, rest of the week, look, nothing's changed. As I've said before, I think most of the activity is going to come Tuesday, Wednesday, and especially Thursday. And, of course, here at Locked On Rockets, we'll have interviews looking forward. I think this deal happened earlier in the week because of the uniqueness of the Kings situation. Also helped that DeMarcus was in New Orleans for the All-Star game, so it's easier logistically on everyone involved. But for the Kings, they essentially wanted a franchise reset. And, well, quite frankly, this is the kind of trade, also doing it early, might send notice to the rest of the league that they're looking to blow it up. So maybe the likes of Darren Collison, other veterans on that roster, become available, and maybe a team like the Rockets looks at them. You never know, but I still think most deals are going to come later in the week when teams ratchet up the deadline pressure, when the clock starts ticking. So I don't think you're going to hear too much about the Rockets for still another day or so. I do think the Rockets are going to be active because they have needs. They could use another 3-and-D presence, be it a small forward or a guard. They could also potentially use another big, a rim protector. So I think the Rockets are going to be making offers. I think they're going to be active because they could use depth. I don't expect the Rockets to trade any of their big chips, so I think it could come down to the wire in that respect. As I've said before, though, keep an eye on the rentals, the likes of P.J. Tucker, Thabo Sefolosha, guys with expiring contracts. But I think one thing that's been clear with the fact that the Rockets have not been that aggressive on the likes of Serge Ibaka and DeMarcus Cousins, despite their familiarity with James Harden, the fact that they would fill needs, the fact the Rockets have not been that aggressive, to me, it says that they're looking to be active in July 2017. They know they're holding a strong hand with regards to how this franchise is going to be perceived. So I think the Rockets are absolutely going to be looking at guys that roll off the books after this year, especially if they're in losing situations where they wouldn't have to give a lot. And by the way, if the Rockets can shed salary, be it KJ McDaniels, Corey Brewer, someone like that to start creating even more room for the summer, I think they'll do that. So those are the kind of deals that I would look for them to make in the coming days. Maybe even Lou Williams, although that would take a little bit more in terms of value, and we'll see if the Rockets are willing to trade a first-round pick like the Lakers are supposedly asking for. But I think flexibility moving forward is going to be big for the Rockets, and seeing them not make bigger splashes, not that they necessarily would have beaten the offers for Serge Ibaka and DeMarcus Cousins, but they absolutely had the goods to get in the ballgame, and it's pretty clear the Rockets were not that aggressive. And so I think we need to look at this deadline through the prism of, well, yes, they want to upgrade the team now, but July 2017 is a big picture date for this franchise, and so they're going to do everything they can for moves that are both A, going to help the team now, and B, position themselves better for this summer, so the rental market is a place to go. The other thing is buyouts. We won't have a better sense on that until Thursday because no one's going to leak that they're really open to buying out a veteran this early because, well, you'd rather not buy him out. You'd rather get some value for him on the trade market. But I think any veterans that get bought out, and again, that'll be Thursday, Friday, Rockets going to be in a very strong position to land one of those guys because, well, they're one of the top five teams in the NBA by record. It's certainly a winning culture. There's a lot of positive things going on in Houston, and well, they can easily create a roster spot because if they need it, you can waive Bobby Brown tomorrow and bring in whoever it may be. Of course, in the past, they've been linked to Jarrett Jack, Mario Chalmers, but there may be even better players than that that get released in the days ahead once these teams see what veterans are not able to be dealt at the trade deadline. For now, the deadline is the focus. I do think the Rockets are still active, but the buyout market in the basically the days ahead of it, and it's going to happen very fast because essentially you need to make those moves by March 1st to be eligible for the playoff roster. So once that deadline comes at 2 p.m. on Thursday, then I think the buyout market's going to start heating up very quickly after that, and we could see the Rockets make a move on that front really as soon as Friday or this weekend. Anyway, though, that's about it as far as my thoughts on the DeMarcus Cousins situation. Again, it's a negative in that he's going to a Western Conference team. Wouldn't really worry too much about it being in the same division. I think that angle is overplayed. As far as the Rockets, they could have gotten in the ballgame. I think when you look at the package the Kings got, Buddy Hield and a first-round pick that's top three protected, I think the Rockets had wanted to get in the game with Sam Decker, Clint Capella, future first-round pick or two. They could have. It's that the Rockets chose not to do it, the same as the Serge Ibaka. And I think big picture, not just where they are this season, but how they're positioned for potentially this summer and a pretty good list of top free agents to add to this team rather than subtracting to the core with the assets needed to make one of these deals. I think that's the real story of why the Rockets were not more active on either one of the big guns at this particular trade deadline. Anyway, with that said, I will wrap it there. Again, when things get cranked up the next couple of days, we're going to have a lot more interviews looking forward. I just thought we'd do a quick recap of DeMarcus Cousins because it happened so quickly and, well, didn't just escalate quickly. It concluded quickly. Within about 3 hours last night, we went from a rumor that they're really looking to deal him to an agreement, them agreeing to actually do it. So yeah, this moves incredibly quickly, and that's what's going to happen throughout this week. So if another major move happens, I'm going to do another quick podcast to break down how it basically impacts your Houston Rockets. Anyway, I'm Ben Dubose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. You can follow us at Locked On Rockets. You can also email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions about the team, rumors, suggestions, want to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor, just email lockedonrockets@gmail.com, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. You can subscribe to us, rate us on any of the podcasting platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom. Just search for Locked On Rockets. You can find any of our 140 archived episodes, as well as all those to come later on this trade deadline week. Anyway, it's Monday, so, well, enjoy your return to work. It's a rainy start to the week. I know for some people it was kind of a rainy night last night in regards to their perception of the Rockets. People wanted them to get in the mix for Cousins. Unfortunately, they did not. However, I hope this episode provides a little more clarity about what they're thinking and what the plans probably are for this franchise, not just the rest of this week, but rolling it over to this summer and, well, free agency in the weeks and months ahead. And you could argue recruiting is already starting based on some of the things that we've seen over the weekend at the All-Star game. The Rockets, I think they know they're holding a strong hand, and this summer is going to be when you see them be more active. I don't think it's necessarily going to be this week. So for now, enjoy the rest of your Monday, and I'll be chatting with you again very soon as the rest of trade deadline week and the rumor mill starts getting cranked up with what the Rockets might do. For now, enjoy your day.